Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Timothy called me last night, late last night, to give me the news. Didn't get much sleep. Wondered, you know, how do you preach a message and in the midst of such grief? But you know, the Word of God stands firm, and it is true, it is perfect, it is good for every last situation we find ourselves in. Good morning to you. Good morning. It is a good morning. Every day that we wake up is a good morning. I'm Pastor Ronald, and I'm excited to be bringing you the message this morning. We're continuing our series on Feel the Rhythm, encouraging us to get into meaningful, purposeful, intentional spiritual disciplines that help us to grow and mature in Christ. 2 weeks ago, Pastor James took us through some very practical ways that we can do that with our families. And last week, he brought us into prayer, talked us about the importance of prayer in that daily rhythm. And today, our subject is Scripture as a spiritual rhythm in our lives that helps us to grow, that makes us who we are. And you might be wondering, what's this pile of... These are all Bibles, by the way, except for this one. Pile of Bibles. That, it's sort of my life right here. This is my first Bible. I've written here, I was 11 years old when I wrote this. Baptized, 11:15, Sunday, March 15th, 1970. And I've got a few verses here that I put down as important to me. Where the Lord's Prayer is, where's the Ten Commandments. Each of these Bibles represents another stage of my spiritual development. And interestingly enough, they kind of got bigger. Each time I got another Bible, it got bigger. Partly because my sight got worse. But also because I wanted more. I wanted to know more. I wanted the spiritual help, the study Bibles that have more in them. So, yeah, my Bibles grew as I matured. So, that's our topic for today, Scripture. And there's so much to cover there. Getting folks into the Bible is my absolute greatest ministry passion. It's why I was fully on board with helping to start this church. It's why I said yes to the founding board when they asked me to serve as the interim initial pastor. It's what motivated me to teach from the Bible each and every Sunday during the time that I was doing that, and it's why I stand before you this morning. And Pastor James recognizes that's a passion of mine, and so when this this came up in his sermon series, he asked me if I would take this one. Thank you for that privilege, James. This is more than just another book, right? It's not a book of, not just a book of literature or a book of history that may or may not be true. This is the living, everlasting Word of God. It is to be cherished. It is to be believed. It is to be put to work in our lives. Hebrews 4:12 says it this way, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts." The contents of this book have influenced, changed, restored, taken away, and caused to flourish the lives of millions of people. Do you realize that thousands have died so that we can have the Word of God in our own language readily available to us? There was a time in history when people were literally burned at the stake for translating the Bible into the native language of their people. Now just think about that. People went to their deaths for translating the Bible into their native language. Let's look at some instructions that the Apostle Paul gives to his understudy, young Timothy. I've asked Tim Robbius, my dear brother in Christ, if he would read our text for us for today, coming from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. Tim.
"But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for the salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work."
Thank you, Tim. Perhaps not many of you have known the Holy Scriptures since infancy, as Paul claims Timothy did. He had apparently a very faithful mother who raised him up in the power and majesty of Scripture. But all of you have been exposed enough to Scripture that you're willing to be sitting here today getting some more of it. Paul points out here in verse 15 of the verses we just went through, the Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So our point number one is the Scriptures open the door to salvation through Christ Jesus. It pains me to think of the number of Bibles that sit collecting dust in the homes of families, even Christian families. It's in the Bible that we find Jesus. It's in the Bible that we learn of the salvation that Jesus died in order to bring us. It's no wonder that such efforts have been made through the centuries to destroy the Bible or to destroy its credibility, and those efforts are magnified even today. They don't necessarily want to destroy the Bible, they just want to destroy its credibility, tell you it's unreliable, it's outdated, you know, it's just what it has to say, it's changed, it's not valuable anymore. Do our own security and freedoms cause us to take the Word of God for granted? Right? We have not done anything in order to make the Word of God available to us. We've not had to give up. But and yet today, there are still folks giving their lives for their own villages to have the Word of God. There are still folks dying because they were found in possession of a Bible. But we have them. I mean, I have a lot in my home, right? Some of them collect dust because I only really need one at a time. The enemy would have you ignore this book. He would have you dismiss its power. He would have you believe the lies about its irrelevance, its inaccuracies, or its outdatedness. But to deny Scripture is to deny Jesus. Denying Jesus is choosing eternal damnation over salvation. It is here that we find hope. It is here that we find wisdom. It is here that we find practical instructions for righteous living. It is here that we find Jesus from the beginning to the end. I can show you Jesus in the first few verses of Genesis. And he's there throughout if you know what you're looking for. It is here that God reveals himself to us in ways that are customized to each and every one of us. You know, Patsy loves the Psalms. Me, not so much. Maybe a little too touchy-feely for me. I'm not saying they're not relevant, not powerful, and they can be at certain times in my life, but she loves them. I love Proverbs. You know, they're just raw spiritual wisdom, you know. Just tell me like it is, I'll take it, you know. That's what the Proverbs do, right? We both love the, you know, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the epistles, all the writings of the New Testament, powerful, powerful stuff. My point here is that at different times in your lives, different parts of the Bible are going to be meaningful to you, but you need to be digesting it all. Yes, the Psalms may not be my flavor most of the time, but I still seek to digest them because there's powerful stuff in there. Let's go back to our text for today and see what else Paul says to Timothy. There in verse 16, it starts out with, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. What does that mean? It means all Scripture is inspired. It's inspired by God. It comes to us from him. It's his words. Yeah, there was, a person writing it down as the Lord's inspiring him to do so. But in its original form, it was God's word. And as best we as human beings have been able to do it and have good translators, we have God's word available to us. I'm not saying there aren't some human errors in some of our translations, but the Holy Spirit's able to overcome that, you know, and reveal to us the truth that is there. So, point number two was all Scripture is inspired by God and therefore deserves our attention. If it carries his weight and his authority, it is as if God himself is speaking to us through the words of Scripture, which he is. I don't know about you, but if God's speaking to me, I really want to be listening. I want to be listening if it's God talking. Patsy may say if it's her talking, I may not listen as much to her. But if it's God, I really do want to be listening. And so in order to listen to God through Scripture, we've got to be in it, right? We've got to be in Scripture to be hearing him, right? Moving on there in verse 16 continues, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. That's some severe usefulness and something very needed things that help us. So our third point there is in Scripture, God has declared his unchanging standards for righteous living. Live them. Live them. And we can only live them if we know them. We can only know them if we get into his word and digest them, make them a part of who we are. Don't look to the world. Don't look to the culture around us to define right and wrong, to define morality. God's already done that. And that doesn't change. As much as the world and culture wants to convince us that it changes, it evolves over time, God doesn't change, His Word doesn't change, and the truth of His Word doesn't change. You can rely on it. Use it. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Parents, you know, they say parenting doesn't come with an instruction manual. Actually, it does. Here it is. Here's the parenting instruction manual. This is how to train up your child in the way he should go. It's right here, right there. Use it. Let's continue on in verse 17. Verse 17 is kind of answering the question, why should we use Scripture in the way that Paul just described? And it says, "So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has provided in Scripture all that you need in order to be thoroughly equipped for the good works that He calls you to do. So why wouldn't we avail ourselves of what He's put there? Do you count yourself as a servant of God? I hope you do. If you claim to be a follower of Christ, a Christ follower, I don't use the term Christian much. It's overused and doesn't typically necessarily evoke someone who's truly following Christ. It's just someone who goes to church, right? I hope you're not just someone who goes to church. I hope you're someone who desires to follow Christ. And if you're following Christ, then there's some good works you're supposed to be doing. Now, the good works don't get you to heaven, right? We talk about that over and over again. Grace is this grace offered to us through the sacrifice Jesus made on our behalf that provides us a way into heaven. But out of gratitude for that grace, we are to be doing good works that point others to that same Jesus, that point others to the way home. So to be prepared for those good works, we need to be soaking ourselves in God's Word. Pastor Ronald, I'm on board with what you're saying here about the Bible being crucial, vital, but how do we do that? How do we make it our own? How do we make it a part of who we are? I've tried reading it. It's kind of dry sometimes, and I have a hard time getting through it at times. So, well, the short answer is a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. Don't expect to sit down and read through the Bible in a matter of days and get anything out of it. You got to take it in small bites. Fortunately, we live in a time where the possibilities are nearly endless in terms of how you can be exposed to God's Word. Of course, starting with having a Bible, but we've also got these devices, right, that we spend a lot of time on. If you haven't got the YouVersion Bible, get it. It's free. That way you've got a Bible at your fingertips all the time. You've got devotionals in there as well that you can use. There's numerous online podcasts that'll help you learn. We can, you know, talk to one of the pastors if you want, you know, to a recommended podcast, somebody you could trust to hear and be exposed to the Word. There's so many tools out there. Right Now Media, which our church has access to, and you as a part of this church can have access to hundreds, if not thousands, of resources there You can pick and choose something that is where you are at your stage and take that in. But none of that matters if you haven't made this a priority. You're not going to do it until it is important to you. So a couple Sundays ago, I didn't do it this morning, but I like to go up most days, even on Sundays, to the track, and I'll get some walking in early. And two Sundays ago, I was up there, and Mikhail was there in his athletic clothes, running through just some football stuff. You know, he was doing drills by himself, right? And I, you know, Mikhail's not here this morning, but you can understand. He is here. Mikhail, you back there? Oh, there you are, buddy. Hey, I want you to know I saw you. And so why would he be doing that? Because he was committed. He was committed to being the best football player he could be. And see, that's the way it is with Scripture, with following Christ. If you're committed, you put in the extra. You make it a priority. So, you know, I'm gonna run like rapid fire through five very practical ways that you can make Scripture a priority in your life. And you'll see them on the screen. You may not even have time to write them down, but maybe you can take a picture of the slide at the end or something. Number one, get your own good study Bible. Don't just any Bible won't do. Get yourself, invest. It's a lifelong investment. Well, I made multiple lifelong investments, apparently. So every time I got a new Bible, I was always embarrassed because it was not worn. It's like, oh, they're going to think I don't read my Bible. So these are all fairly worn now. Get yourself a good study. If you need help picking one, talk to one of the pastors. We can help you. Help you pick a good one. And that's number one. Number two, spend time reading it. Spend time reading it. Don't just own it. Live in it. Find a time you can and will dedicate to reading not large chunks, but smaller chunks at a time, what you can digest at a given time. I found in my life, when I started trying to commit to this, I had to get up earlier so that I would have a time that wouldn't be taken from me now and then. I could dedicate to that early one morning. You find your time. Find what works for you. Number three, spend time studying God's Word. So it's not enough just to read it. Reading it is a beginning, but you need to be studying. You need to be, you know, when you read it, you're always going to have these questions. Okay, yeah, what does that mean? Then you need to look it up, or you need to talk to somebody else who knows. So that's where the groups come in. Small groups, studying the Bible, you can bounce these things off from one another. Rely on the Holy Spirit within the whole group to bring out the truth of a passage, something deeper than what you're going to get just sitting there reading through it on your own. Number four, make the effort to memorize Scripture. Don't go crazy. You know, just pick some meaningful, short passage. Pick something that's pertinent to your life at that point. Write it on a post-it note. Post it on your vanity mirror. Write it on another post-it note. Post it on your dashboard. You know, in a couple of weeks, you see that, read through it multiple times a day. It's yours. You've hidden it in your heart. Psalm 119:11. I think that's the one. I may be getting it confused. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's what you're doing. You're training yourself by memorizing Scripture. When Jesus, at the beginning, well, before his ministry even, the Lord sent him out into the wilderness for 40 days. And at the end of those 40 days, Satan came to him to tempt him. In response to each of those temptations, what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture to Satan. That's your weapon against Satan, God's Word. The more of it you have in your heart, the stronger weapon you've got against his temptations. And number five, last but not least, utilize a daily devotional. Utilize a daily devotional. This is a very practical way. You're not just reading scripture, you're getting somebody else's kind of encouragement and what might be meant there to stretch you a little bit. And I'm going to tell you that not all devotionals are created equal. I've done dozens of different devotional materials in my life. Some were really good. Some were just a little more than fluff. Okay? And there are a lot of those out there that are really just fluff, meant to make you feel good, not necessarily to stretch you. I want to encourage you to get something that's going to stretch you, that's going to challenge you, that's going to teach you. And to that end, I'm going to recommend. In fact, I asked for all the pastors to contribute some recommendations, and out in the foyer, you'll find a 8x10. You're welcome to take that one of those lists. It's a list of our recommendations of some serious devotionals that you could find very helpful. This is one that Patsy and I, as often as we can, it's called the 1 Year at His Feet Devotional by Chris Tegren. Chris Tegren has done 3 or 4 of these 1 Year devotionals. They're all excellent. All excellent. If you want something that's going to challenge you, this is it. This is it. There are actually 5 copies out there available to the first 5 people who want them. If you want to make a small contribution, they were $15. If you want to, but take one if you want one. If you're wanting to get into a serious devotion, so there are 2 other resources out there. Pastor James has put together a resource to help you to analyze your own commitment to getting into God's Word. It's kind of a self-analysis guide. Pick one of those up and do that to help you get motivated to get into God's Word. And then, so you've got that, and you've got the list of devotionals, and you've got the actual devotionals for those who want to have one of these. Now, final question. Do you love Jesus? Anybody here love Jesus? Good, good. Love Jesus. Then love His Word. And love His Word, too. John chapter 1, Word became flesh. Became Jesus, and He dwelt among us. The Word, Jesus, one and the same. One and the same. Philip mentioned that to us in the prayer time earlier today. Some of you have heard me talking about love and Jesus up here today, and you may be asking yourself, do I love Jesus? Do I know what He's talking about when He says loving Jesus? Maybe that's not really the way you talk about your faith, loving Jesus. Perhaps the Spirit of the living God is moving in you to make a decision about whether or not you love Jesus. Whether or not you are a Christ follower. I would encourage you that there is no better time than right now to make that decision. And Scripture is pretty clear on this point. If that is a decision that you make, it needs to be public. It's not something you simply do in the quiet of your heart that then Satan can rob from you later on. Did I do that or did I not? Did I mean it? Well, if you mean it, during this closing song today, one simple act. All you have to do is come over here and stand on the corner of the stage with me. That will be your proclamation that you mean it, that you want to claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to be able to say and mean it that you love Jesus and that you are His servant. If that's you, join me on the corner stage during the last song. Also, Pastor James mentioned the back to school party we're having. Where else? We're having baptisms. I think we have 3 or 4 baptisms during that time. And if the Spirit of God has been putting on you that maybe you should undergo believer baptism, there is no reason why we can't add some more and bring a few extra towels. But we'd really love for you to visit with Pastor James, Pastor Philip, or myself following the service. If that's something you would like to participate in, we'd love for you to have that opportunity to be baptized this evening. 6 o'clock, right? Is that our gathering time? Anybody? Okay, yes. So please come see one of us if that's your desire. Let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so, so thankful for the folks who went before us centuries ago, paid the ultimate price so that we can have the Word of God available to us freely, easily. But Father, we also confess that too often we take for granted that freedom, that access, and we don't value it as we should. Father, move us to place the proper value on your word, on you, on loving Jesus by loving your word. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support Community Fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.